Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to share a word with you on redeemed from the curse. Redeemed from the curse. And this, of course, relates to healing as well as some other areas. Redeemed from the curse. But in Deuteronomy 11:26 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I command you today, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord and turn aside out of the way, which I would command you this day to go after other gods with whom you've not known." Now we see right away that blessing and curse is a choice for us. It's a choice. We can choose between the two. Blessing's not automatic. It's available. It's there for us. But we've got to choose the Word of God, choose obedience as the way in which we're going to walk. And if we don't, there's one alternative, and that is the curse, which I'm going to get into some things about the curse here. The blessing that he speaks of, which we'll go into some detail then, was only made possible because of covenant. Again, you're not blessed just because God loves you. That's a wrong thought. Like, well, God's merciful, so I'll just be blessed. Everything should go my way. That is not scriptural. Blessings available because of the covenant as we believe and obey the Lord. It's not an automatic, it's not a given, you're not entitled to it or anything else, but rather it's available. And if we don't make that choice, there is a default, and that is you will enter into a curse. Now, a curse, the way the Hebrew word defines a curse, is something that has power over you. In a negative way, has power over you. You can't resist it or overcome it yourself. That's a curse. Now, when you hear the word curse, you think like witchcraft, putting curses on you. And that can be part of it. That can be an existing part. But it's quite simply, if we don't walk in the light, if we don't partake of life, then you automatically default to falling under the curse. Now, in understanding the curse, we need to go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll pick it up at verse 14. Now, this is verse 14. After the fall of Adam and Eve, Eve was deceived. Adam made a choice. Therefore, when Adam sinned, man fell. But God mentions three curses here, beginning at verse 14, and it covers the whole spectrum, really, of our life. Verse 14, "The Lord God said to the serpent," which is Satan, "because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and on your belly thou shalt go, and thou shalt eat dust all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and it shall bruise thy head, you shall bruise his heel." Now, that's the first curse that's mentioned here, and also the first prophecy. With the incoming curse comes a prophetic word of Christ to come, is going to come through the woman, that the Son of God would be incarnate and take on flesh, and through his death, he would destroy him who had the power of death, that was Satan. Satan would have his moment and bruise the heel of Jesus, but Jesus is going to crush his head or his authority. Satan gained authority over man by Adam's sinning and following Satan and submitting himself to Satan and his ways, and therefore he became the authority. Now, Jesus, he said in Luke 10:19, when the disciples came back, having been given authority over over devils. They said, oh, you know, the devils are subject to us. And he said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning out of heaven. In that moment of time when Satan rebelled against God, out of his pride and wanting to exalt himself, God kicked him out of heaven, or he died spiritually. Satan died spiritually. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, that the angels that followed him came into everlasting darkness, or chained into darkness for eternity. Well, Satan himself is. Now, they're not literally in chains right now. They're roaming the earth. But their destiny was sealed, hell in the lake of fire, hell during the millennium, the lake of fire for eternity. But the initial judgment upon Satan was separation from God, or spiritual death. There are two authorities in the universe. There's God, creator of heaven and earth, his son Jesus Christ, and then there's Satan. Those who do not submit themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ are submitted to Satan and bring themselves under the curse that Satan's under. In other words, spiritual death. When rebellion takes place in the heart of a child, now you're, according to Romans 7, born spiritually alive, but then the law came and sin revives. The nature of sin's in us as a seed. And when God expresses his will, it's the watering of that seed where, like Satan exalted himself against God, man exalts himself against God as well. And you begin to see in a young child when they learn the word no, because they're standing against the authority of their parents. Now, initially, they don't really understand that. It's just by nature they're doing it. But when the level of understanding comes in the rejection of authority, they die spiritually. At that point, someone can be born again. It's very unwise to try to lead children to say a prayer until they understand they are a sinner separated from God. Something's missing. Now, they may not be able to explain it, but you can know that. I remember as a child, I know what happened. I know, yeah, I was going to church. I was hearing the law of God, thou shalt not steal. And I took pennies out of my sister's piggy bank, and I died spiritually. And I knew something was missing as the age of 5 years old. Something was missing, and began to desire to know the truth, to know about God. And I would ask my mom about it, and they would take me to church, Methodist, and I'd hear the Ten Commandments and such, but I didn't really come to know Jesus until I was 18 years old. And sometimes children, out of their desire to please their parents, they'll just, oh, to please mommy or daddy, I say a prayer. They're not saved. It's a horrible deception where kids actually are led to believe they're somewhere they're not spiritually. They're not saved yet. To be saved is to be saved from sin, and to be delivered is to be delivered from the authority of Satan. And until you know the bondage of that and what it creates, a separation from God and spiritual death, and there's something missing in your spirit and your soul, until you know that, you can't really even be saved. Therefore, there are many people who think they were saved when they were six and got saved when they're 18, but they really weren't even saved when they were six. They just said a prayer. And you can be 25 years old and say a prayer, but if there's no conviction, power of sin, and you're renouncing Satan as Lord of your life, you're not really saved. It's just like some play on words. All it is, why wishful thinking, well, I want to go to heaven. I want my insurance policy. But we, in having a reverence for God, you hate sin, you love righteousness, you want to do his will, you want the things that have been taken out from you, the peace, the joy, and the nature of love, and that needs to, you need delivered from that, and there's a desire that begins to emerge, even in a child, that something's missing. And many will begin to search for that and ask questions. And if you're not there to answer those questions at the right time, then those opportunities go past. And that child might enter into more suffering as a result of sin. Well, the first curse was spiritual. It's death, spiritual death. And that's the result of rebellion against God, which proceeds out of pride. Now, it says in John 16, speaking of the Holy Spirit's ministry, he'll convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit's ministry begins with conviction of what's right and wrong. The curse of knowing what's right is then you know when you're doing wrong and you have guilt. That's the curse of the law. The law is simply the will of God. The curse of that is you know when you've disobeyed God and there's guilt. What Adam did when the guilt came is that he hid himself from God and avoided the presence of God. Because he had that guilt. If you're guilty against someone, you'll avoid their presence because it reminds you of the sin. If you sin against someone else, the mere mention of their name stirs something negative in you. To get around them agitates your spirit because you have sin against them. To have sin against God, which is rebellion, sin against God, you'll avoid him. People that don't want the truth, well, they can't stand going to a real church where there's conviction power. They don't want to be there. If it's real worship, they don't like that. If the presence of God is there. Well, the Holy Ghost convicts us of sin, righteousness, or the way of God. And Jesus is the way to God, but then righteousness in a twofold meetings, right standing and right ways. He not only convicts you of that which would be wrong, particularly beginning with unbelief, but that which is right. And as you have that knowledge and that awareness, not just knowledge in the head, but the awareness, you then can make the choice. Because the fruit we're going to enjoy is all the byproduct of our choices. So we make the choice. So the initial curse of which man has no power to overcome, all the good works you could ever do, cannot deliver you from spiritual death, cannot deliver you from that curse. So it goes on there in John 16. He convicts us of judgment. It says, because the prince of this world is judged, or Satan is judged. There's a judgment on him. And if we don't allow the Lord to take the judgment of sin off from us and make him Lord of our life, then Satan is still Lord. And we need a conviction about that, a conviction relative to who is Lord of our life. Who am I following? Who is my Lord? So with that conviction of him as Lord, we submit to the Lord. If we're not submitting to the Lord, you are submitting to the devil. There is nothing in between. Now, not necessarily the devil direct, but indirectly submitting to him. So you come under the same curse, which is spiritual death, separation from God, the loss of everything to do with the kingdom of God and the presence of God. Well, praise God. God made the way we can be saved. We can be born again. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from spiritual death. A price was paid. We can partake eternal life if we believe upon him. Now, verse 15 speaks of the prophetic word of the Christ to come. Verse 16 says to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow upon conception. In sorrow you'll bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over the, you know, God ordained for man to be the head of the house. Now today that's not popular, and you can probably even be censored and cancel cultured and everything else for saying such a thing. But it's scriptural, and I'll say it because it's the Bible. To deny that is to deny the word of God. Once you start down the path, you'll end up with nothing but your opinion. And you see, Eve followed Satan rather than Adam. So part of it for her is I'm putting it in your heart to submit to a man who's going to submit to me. Men can like to hear, oh yeah, I've got the authority. You got a lot of responsibility that goes with that, buddy. You've got to hear from God and obey God, or you have nothing, no authority. There's a responsibility we have to give account to ourselves for. But God puts it within a woman to submit to a man. And when women go against that, they are in rebellion to God as creator. So much that's going on today is the undermining of all things God as creator. He created the earth to provide for us and bless us, not for us to worship trees and little fish that would be floating along the creek bank or whatever. You know, all this environmentalism is the rejection of God as creator and the worship of creation as brought out in Romans chapter 1. It says the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon that and those who embrace that. Oh, everything of Satan, he'll start out real subtle at first so he can deceive you into it. But we either submitting it all to God, or it's Satan, and he uses these different methods. The worship of creation is one method. But now people even will reject whether they're a male or female. They're in it. That is demonic. Anyone who even repeats such nonsense is under the influence of demons. I'm not mincing my words here. Under the influence of demons. They may not realize it. That doesn't mean it's still not true. It is demonic. He's working against everything that God has set in motion as creator. He ordained a family. He looks to undermine that and right on down the line. But in conception, a woman will with sorrow, pain, and childbirth. But I want you to see something in a broader scope here. A curse came on the human body as a result of sin. The initial act that would take place with Eve would be childbearing. But it proceeded right on to human health. A curse came on the human body. There is power over it because of spiritual death. Remember, a curse, there's a power over you and you're not able to overcome or resist. And are things in the realm of sickness are actually the curse that began with Eve. The curse on the human body. Then it goes on and says to Adam that the earth itself, the ground's cursed because of you. And you're going to have to labor by the sweat of your brow. In other words, Eden had just a provision just right there. I mean, I've heard already, like, you can be in heaven and just speak to the tree and a fruit drop right into your hand. Now, I don't know if I've heard somebody say that. I don't know if that's so. If that was what someone said they saw in heaven. Could have been like Adam and Eden. I'll have an apple and it drops right into your hand. You didn't have to work up a sweat. Now we have to prune. I've had planted apple trees. There's a lot of pruning. You got to go out there and pick the fruit and do all this different stuff. And that's just with the tree, much less things of the seeds in the ground, like, say, corn seeds, beans are seeds. It's not just like bird seed. Okay, corn is seeds. A lot of what we eat is actually seed. Okay, and then there's the leafy vegetables as well. But the earth itself was cursed. There's a curse on the earth. So God was, through his covenant with Abraham, is going to make the provision where the power of God would be available to override the curse. Two-thirds of the curse. The curse on the human body and the curse on the earth. But the curse in the spirit would not be dealt with until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came, the spotless Lamb of God, who alone was pure, whose blood could be shed to pay the price for our sin and redeem us from death, whereby life could be made available. So in the new covenant, we have the blessings, the two-third blessing of the old covenant that would take care of the things relating to the body and relating to provision, the curse relative to that, but in addition to it, the spiritual blessing, as Ephesians 1:3 says, all spiritual blessing is made available to us in Christ Jesus. And it's by faith we receive that, believing on the work Jesus did with his body and his blood. Sometimes people say, well, healing's not for today. It's not restated. Those covenant blessings relative to the body and prosperity or provision carry over with the new. It's in addition to that, you have all spiritual blessing, which begins with being made alive, given life, and then giving access to the kingdom of God, where we can partake love, joy, and peace in our spirit, because our spirit's spiritually alive. Hallelujah. Can you see this today? It's fresh revelation for me. I never shared this before like this. I mean, some things I just said I have. But from Genesis 3, there were three aspects of a curse that came. And they're there today on anyone, except that by the power of God, you rise up out above the curse. So God makes the way for us. We can have the power of God relative to health in our body, and the power of God relative to prosperity or provision in the natural. You need those things to live. You're not really living if you don't have eternal life. You're just very temporary. But if you don't have a healthy body and you don't have food to eat, you're not living very long beyond that. Wow, praise the Lord. I was excited that revelation came to me this week, seeing it in the Word to a greater degree. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's go up there. It speaks of blessings and cursing. And this can tend to be misinterpreted unless you understand what I just shared with you a few moments ago. And he says at verse 1, it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently, not part-time Christian, haphazardly, when I feel like it, once a week. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all, not just some of it, not what you pick and choose, not what you feel like, all his commandments, and that is what it is to love the Lord your God. Jesus said to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If you love me, keep my commandments. He said that in John chapter 14. And keep his commandments, I command thee this day, and the Lord will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee. Now, this is a result of the covenant that he made with Abraham. That there is an inheritance for him, an inheritance of a land where there would be provision and prosperity like back in Eden. Only not completely like back in Eden, but very close to it. Blessing would be there. And it says it'll overtake you. It's all around you. You don't have to pursue the blessing. You pursue him. And the blessing will pursue you. So Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow or pursue me all the days of my life. The blessing of God will whack you in the back of the head like a wave standing in the ocean, not paying attention to the waves coming in. Hallelujah. Hearken to the voice of the Lord. And he goes on and says, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. In other words, it doesn't matter where you live. You don't need to be in a special blessed place. You'll be blessed wherever you are. You'll be blessed in the middle of the desert. You know, in Israel right now, the land's flourishing with farming, and they're discovering oil and gas, where a few years back, it's like there was nothing there. It's like desert. Because the blessing of the Lord's upon them, God's causing these things to come forth. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Well, we understand relative to childbearing, but that also pertains to health. the fruit of your body. Your body can come under blessing. You can come under health and healing. Hallelujah. And he goes on speaking about, you know, your sheep, your goats, your basket, your store. When you come in, when you go out. When you come in and when you go out. Yeah, it's not just like a certain time. Expect to get blessed anytime. There's times I'm taking a shower and I get blessed because the Holy Ghost begins to minister to me. You can get blessed riding in your car when you're going out. The Lord will cause your enemies that would rise up to be smitten. In other words, there's deliverance from those who would want to harm you. Protection. The promise of protection is in this. Protection of your body and protection of your stuff. You know, back when we were building this building, I still remember one day, we had just put the roof on this side here, this slope roof. We didn't have anything on the top here yet. So we had a big sail in the sky. And I heard there was going to be winds, and I lived maybe about 5 miles from here at that time. And I heard this strong wind coming up through the valley. I thought, oh, Lord. And I began to pray and believe God for the angels of God to sit on that roof, because I knew we had a sail. And the prevailing wind comes from the southwest, coming straight into that. And I came out the next day, and that roof was still on there. And the cornfield, all the corn stalks were blown over. And on the hill at Heritage Apartments, it was just simply framed. It wasn't solid, framed. And the whole framing was blown down. But the sail we put in the sky was still there. God can protect your stuff. That's just one example that popped into my head. He can protect you from disease. He can protect you. Those things are a curse. And there's a curse on the earth. That's why he set in motion Sabbath. And he made it a command so you wouldn't give yourself the option out of it. Well, I don't think I'll go to church this week. I got to work. I need some money. No, you need God. And he ordained for you to rest and worship him that seventh day. And the issue isn't which day of the week it is, but that you take one in seven. That's the issue. And it's not a law that transcends love. Jesus clearly expressed that when he healed on the Sabbath. You know, love's the higher law. But that law, the commandment, the Sabbath, is the wisdom of God. Because of the curse, we need rest beyond just some sleep at night. You need a day of rest in your spirit where your spirit man's being charged and your mind's being renewed with the word of God, and you're worshiping and consecrating yourself to him that you might obey him all the other time of your life. And the reason I bring that in is Israel ceased to obey the Sabbath year. Every 7 years, all debt was to be released every 7 years. And they were to have a year of letting the land rest. And God would prosper them in the sixth year to hold them over to the eighth year. And when they didn't obey God because greed come in, covetousness, they spent a year in captivity for every Shabbat year that they missed, which was 70. 70 times 7 is 490 years that they didn't keep Sabbath. That seventh year Sabbath. So they came under a curse in that disobedience. God ordained the tithe, that the tithe belongs to him. It's not yours to give as you will. It's his. And you bring it to the storehouse, which would be the local church, where you're being fed the word of God. And God uses that. The Levites didn't have an inheritance. They were to be full time within the ministry of the tabernacle. And you have people full time in ministry to the Lord. And that is their inheritance there to live off of. So it doesn't belong to us. So Malachi 3 says, will man rob God? Oh, where have we robbed you? We're not stealing from you. You robbed me in your tithes and offerings. The failure to tithe is robbing from God. And it says, verse 9, Malachi 3, you're cursed with a curse. Or in other words, you're back under the curse that's on the earth where there's going to be lack and interference in terms of prosperity or financial blessing. The tithe isn't 3%, if you will it to be that. The tithe means 10. That's what God said. It's not negotiable. It's the 10th. And those who will not obey the Lord through unbelief or covetousness, well, I could make a boat payment with that tithe money or whatever, you know, whatever the thought is. They place themselves under the curse. Now, you can work hard and attain things, but it's going to slip through your fingers. Now, for us who are believers, we should never confess, well, you know, bad things will happen. Don't be talking like that. Talk blessing. Yeah, just this morning, my wife and I pray an agreement over our tithe. And I always will acknowledge God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And Lord, you said in your word, you'd open the windows of heaven to those that tithe. So we expect the windows of heaven to pour out blessing we can't contain. We not only have our needs met, but we can live the life of a giver. So we pray that every week. That's what I pray, according to the word. That's what I believe. So I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, just my luck. Things break down. You know, machines will break. They're not made to be eternal. They're not an eternal creation. They will break. But we can have God's hand upon such things that they would maybe last us a little bit longer. My wife likes to refer to the dishwasher as her servant. God gives us great servants. It's not for you to have more leisure, but for you to do more for him. So the washing machine, the dishwasher, they're all her servants. Back in the day, women would wash clothes by hand. What? Yeah, in India, they still do that. In the community pond, I allowed, first time over there, I had like a cream-colored sweater, allowed them to wash it, came back brown. I found out why. I saw they're washing in this muddy water. They're washing the cows in and everything else. So I didn't make that mistake again. But you could lose laundry detergent, use laundry detergent. It's not going to do much good in muddy water. So anyway, those things are a great blessing. Many people look at those blessings as more leisure for their own worldly pleasure instead of living more of the life of a giver. And giving is not just with money, but giving your time, giving of yourself, being a blessing to others. So bless your servants. Don't mistreat them. Bless your servant, the dishwasher and the laundry, the washing machine and all the rest. You know, people used to walk all over the place. Now we have a servant called a car. Bless your car. Take good care of it. Let it have a little oil to drink, you know, a little. Keep you nice and clean. Well, We see here, the Lord calls you to be plenteous, Deuteronomy 28. He'll open the good treasure of heaven to give the rain upon the land, to bless you. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You'll be blessed coming and going. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to search them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to obey, to do his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, these curses shall come upon thee. Cursed in the city, cursed in the field. You can be cursed out in the most beautiful place you could find on the earth, and there's still a curse on you if you're not obeying God. See, it's not about place. It's about where you are in spirit. And it goes on. So you'd be cursed in your body, cursed with sickness, cursed in a field, cursed with your animals. Curse, curse, curse. Now, it's not God arbitrarily saying, I am upset with you. I curse you. See, that's a wrong understanding of the word of God. But rather, when we reject his authority to obey him and rebel exalting ourselves, we place ourselves under the curse that's on Satan, the curse that came through Eve on the human body, the curse that was spoken to Adam on the earth, where everything's hard. Now, Jesus said you will have tribulation in this world. Why? Because there's a curse on the earth, and we live in the midst of it. But he said, in the midst of that, I give you peace, or you can access the kingdom of God. Now, Galatians 3:13 says, he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon those who would believe. Jesus became the curse. He took our sin upon himself. He was cursed with the curse that was upon us in spirit. He was separated from the Father. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He died spiritually. He paid the punishment that we deserve for eternity, 3 days in hell. And God said, it's enough. We deserve eternity in hell, right? With Satan because of following him. But he became the curse. So we could be redeemed by that shed blood. It was paid. A legal price was paid to redeem us out from the power of sin. Sin has no power over us anymore. The curse of sickness does not have power over us anymore. The curse of lack and poverty does not need to have any power over us anymore. Because we are in covenant with God, whereby we can partake all spiritual blessing and all blessing that we would need in the natural. Healing and prosperity, protection, deliverance, all of it. It's all available to us. But it's our choice. It is our choice. The curse of the law is when you know what God's will is, which that's all the law is, God expressing his will, then you have guilt when you have the awareness that you're violating the law. So the curse of knowing what's right is you know what's when you're wrong. And you have guilt. And man cannot escape guilt in his own power and ability. It's part of the curse. But God has given us forgiveness and the cleansing and remission of sin by the blood of the Lamb. Where the power of sin is broken, it has no power over you anymore. Guilt does not need to have power over you. We need to simply believe the word, I am forgiven according to God's word. I confessed my sin. I am forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. Where not only is God not going to punish you, but the guilt's removed. Many people, even as Christians, still live under a cloud of guilt, and it motivates so much of what they do. God doesn't want that. He wants us to have a righteousness consciousness. We know we're in right standing. We have confidence before God. We can boldly come before him because of the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a boldness in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we are redeemed from the curse. It's our choice to walk in that blessing. We do so by faith, and obedience. By faith, believing God, believing His word, unto obedience out of our love for God and wanting to please Him rather than ourselves.